Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, this is in your wheelhouse, Jennifer. The big heavy metal. Yeah.
I wouldn't consider Limp Bizkit heavy metal, but yeah, it's around my alley.
Yeah, that's what I think. You're long lost secret. You love loving that, the big head bashing music.
Yeah, I had to headbang to something.
Well, yeah, because our the guy who puts in that music, Tommy, he was once a member of the band Skunk Ape, and this is his wheelhouse. You two kind of like the same music there. Ah, man, Leroy, first 2 hours of the show, Tobin and Beast are out, as it is a typical teacher work day. And yep. So both of their wives are teachers, so they have to be.
How about this one? It say, to the story that I told about New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. Isn't Oreo a little dog?
Yes.
Which made the story even funnier that this person thought that I had a 5-pound drug-sniffing dog. And has Oreo eaten Ricky yet?
Has he?
Got to tell you. Oreo don't too much mess with Ricky.
He's not interested, doesn't he?
Well, because keep in mind, Ricky's up high. He's always on the drapes and in a cage and whatever. And Oreo hangs out under the bed. So, yeah. Nah. Yeah,
Ricky's got his tower now.
But I'm scared because when he runs around the house, or if Rebecca lets him loose, he runs underneath the couches and into the... You know, they're recliners, and he just runs under there, and I'm scared that somebody's going to squash him. So, I don't know. I told her, stop. She walks around, and he just lays on, you know. She stuffs him in his shirt.
Is he still in Leroy's house by January 1st, 2020? Is he going to be at the next New Year's Eve bash at your house with the drug-sniffing dog?
I don't know.
You could say you have a drug-sniffing squirrel.
I don't know. I don't know. It's like, man, look, I will say this, and people who have kids know this. There are things that you never thought that you would fall for or do, and then you have kids, and, you know, the laws of life seem to ease a little bit. So I never thought I'd have a pet squirrel. First of all, I never thought I'd have another dog because I had my lab for 14 years, had to put him to sleep. I was like, no more animals.
Hold on. Did you just say you have a pet squirrel?
Oh, yeah. This whole time, Ricky.
That's
Ricky
what
the squirrel.
Ricky is.
Ricky the squirrel.
Ricky is the squirrel.
No idea. Why do you have a pet squirrel?
Okay.
Do you also train this one for drugs?
No. Here's what happened. I went outside one day, and it was a squirrel. You ever seen a baby squirrel?
Yes, I have.
Really? Not many people see baby squirrel. It was one in my pool.
Oh.
That's so sad.
Right. So I scooped him out, right? I scooped him out, and then my wife and my daughter came, and they wanted to, like, play with him, so they put him in the grass, and he was, like, this big. I put him in the grass, and he ran in the woods. I was like, you don't want to run in them woods. We got iguanas. I've seen possums, all kind of stuff. Couldn't find him. My wife went back there to try to get him. He was gone. 2 days later, I came back outside. He was in the pool again, hanging on for dear life, but he was a little banged up. And, you know, they took him to the vet to see what to do to, you know, got formula, Pedialyte, you know, to try to nurse him back. But the vet said, yeah, at that age, they have a shelf life of like a year because, you know, birds just fly by and pick them up.
And how long have you had Ricky?
A month?
It's been a month, solid month.
Okay. Month?
So, yeah. But he's still tiny. He's tiny. So they carry him around. Rebecca, like, he sleeps in a pocket, right?
He stays in the pocket.
In a pocket.
Yeah, he stays in the pocket.
He get called for intentional grounding because he doesn't leave the pocket.
And so from that standpoint, it's actually, you know, we just we're just trying to figure out, you know, what's the next step, because Rebecca just carries him around, puts him in a little pocket on the shoulder, feeds him grapes.
I was about to ask you, what do you feed him?
Grapes, okay. Nuts. There's a list, because he can eat grapes, but Oreo can't.
Look at her put the Patrick Mahomes knee back into place. Wow.
So that's crazy, you know, that it varies what they can eat. He eats nuts. Oreo can't eat nuts.
So, let's get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, a lot of people still texting about this baby shower. The power of the radio.com rewind.
You have stirred the pot.
Hey, somebody said if Ricky keeps getting in the pool, he probably needs to ride the short bus for squirrels.
Ricky's just hot.
Something was chasing him, and whatever was chasing him didn't get in the pool.
Well, the big news of the day was Patrick Mahomes. According to Ian Rappaport, he's going to be out at least 3 weeks. That's 3 weeks, and then they have a bye week. They have another game, and then they have a bye week. So he could be – I'm guessing he's out 5 weeks, missing four games, including the bye week. That's what I'm guessing. But he's going to be out at least 3 weeks, because last night the Chiefs nuked the 500-mile rule, winning 30-6 over the Denver Broncos. Patrick Mahomes was 10 of 11 with 76 yards and a touchdown prior to his injury. And the Chiefs' next game, man, a big letdown for NBC. They're expecting Mahomes and Rodgers. It's a big Sunday night matchup, and it's just going to be Mahomes and our old friend, Matt Moore, who came in the game yesterday.
I don't understand. Like, there's quarterback. In the last couple of years, quarterbacks have been picked up out of retirement.
Yeah, Josh McCown with the Eagles.
There's not enough people playing quarterback that you can't get a fresh quarterback to play backup.
it's a fair point. I mean, I guess the guy who was starting for the Jets, Luke Falk, he's available. He's played quarterback this season.
Hey,
they got him.
Mike, think about that. He went from starter to no job.
Cut.
Cut.
that is pretty funny. But yeah, Matt Moore is going to be starting for at least the next 3 weeks as Patrick Mahomes looks like he just dislocated his kneecap. And the Chiefs had 9 sacks. And I had the Chiefs defense in fantasy football, and they had a touchdown as well. And this had no impact on the game whatsoever. This is a blowout regardless. But Leroy, Denver gets the ball. First drive, they march down the field and score a touchdown. And then they make the extra point, but Kansas City was offsides, so they choose to take the point off the board and go for two from the 1 yard line. And they didn't get it. Now, it's debatable whether teams should go for two or kick the 35-yard extra point. But when you have the extra point already made for one more point, it just seems so stupid. I know it's from a 1 yard line, but
a yard.
But it's one play.
A yard.
One play for 1 point.
A yard. Here's the more important issue. It is no benefit at that point in time to have 8 points over 7 points.
That's what I said.
Right. There's no. Like, it's never going to play out that way. So, if you are a person that goes for two every time, then fine. Right? Mm-hmm. But if you're only going for two because you got an offside.
And you had already made the extra point. Like, if he had missed the extra point and you have to re-kick the extra point versus going for two in the 1 yard line,
but
I can understand.
It did go from the 25 to the 1.5.
Yeah.
Right. So that one and a quarter. That's what, you know, a yard. You're an offense. Yeah. You can't get a yard.
But yeah, it's just weird when the point was already made.
Right.
Like you could have declined the penalty or maybe assessed it. I don't know if
on the kickoff.
On the kickoff, and you'd be up 7-0 to start the game. It was just too early, and then you put yourself in a position to possibly be chasing points.
It didn't come into play because
they got waxed. And if they would have known that their offensive line was going to allow 9 sacks, I don't think they would have gone for two.
Hey, how are you feeling about Flacco? He's oof.
Yeah, and the thing is, Denver doesn't have the young quarterback to go to because Drew Locke, I believe, is on IR. He's not going to come back. He's not eligible to come back for at least another couple weeks. So it's Joe Flacco, ride or die, until Drew Locke is ready to play.
I'll go with the latter. Die. Because, man.
But he is checked down Charlie as it is, and now you harass him with pass pressure. He's getting 9 sacks.
He does throw a nice deep ball, and that was one of his things, but they ain't protecting him long enough for people to get there.
Also last night, the Miami Heat, they beat the Orlando Magic up in Orlando 107-98. Jimmy Butler led the team with 23 points. Duncan Strokinson, maybe busting out of his slump, had 17 and was 4 of 8 from downtown. You know, Kelly Olynyk, his first game, he had 14 points in 15 minutes. And Tyler Hero had 8 points, but he was only 2 of 4 from downtown. And then, you know,
50%. We're complaining about 50%.
No, it was good. But with all the Tyler Hero talk about being compared to Klay Thompson, it's, I mean, 8 points. It is preseason. I'm not going to buy too much into it. But, yeah, it's just funny after all this hype and comparison. 8 points, and he really had it wasn't a bad game. It just, you know, it was preseason, letting other guys play. But I'm sure people might be disappointed with him only having 8 points after all the hype around him, comparing him to Klay Thompson.
I mean, that's fine. I'm like,
I mean, there's one thing. I mean, I don't. You know me, Leroy. I don't buy too much in a hype of anything, preseason hype or whatever. But
right.
I feel like the NBA preseason is the best evaluation of what's to come in the regular season. Before the preseason, I was feeling like this Heat team would be maybe 42 wins, 42-40, maybe fringe 500 team. I'm still concerned about their defending the three. But after watching this preseason, they've been pounding people every game. They're 4-0. I feel a little bit better about the Heat, maybe stretching it to 44 wins, maybe getting a playoff berth. Maybe, I mean, I'm not, I think 3 seed maybe still a little crazy, but 5-6 seed seems more doable watching this preseason. Now, I did also get hyped for that in the preseason, the first year after LeBron left. I was very hyped for that preseason, and then, you know, they didn't.
Well, because keep in mind, Chris Bosh got hurt.
He got that was the first time he got sick at the All-Star break.
Right. And
then the next year, they were the 3 seed in the East, even with Chris Bosh getting hurt again.
Right.
So that's just the Heat play, by the way, they're back in action tonight. Their final preseason game at home against the Houston Rockets, 8 p.m. tip-off.
Let me explain this.
Uh-oh.
See, he said, Leroy, the ref said half the distance. How is half the distance from 25 end up at the one-yard line? Because if you go for two, ball's at the two-yard line. If you kick the extra point, it's at the 25. So if you say you can either take 5 yards or go half the distance, if you go up and go for two, you can move up to the one. If you kick it, you can move up to the 20. But if they were going to kick it, they would just take the point.
Yeah, they already made the kick.
So they tried to be greedy, get an extra point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it backfired.
It was the first quarter. You don't want to be chasing points in the first quarter.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
They got blown out. Because they never scored again.
Yeah. I don't even think they got it. Seemed like they didn't get a first down the rest of the game. They were just getting sacked every other play. And the Florida Panthers, they're also in action tonight at the BB&T Center at home against the Colorado Avalanche, 7 o'clock. The puck drops. You can catch that game on 560 The Joe. Coming up next, Leroy, it's about that time. The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's next. Oh, yes. My favorite segment, the Magnificent Seven. We got that 7 winners for this weekend in college football. Now, last week was kind of rough. We got some bad beats in there. LSU's miracle cover in that Florida game.
Wait a minute, you said LSU, you thought Florida was going to cover against LSU?
It was 13.5 points, and they were hanging around. They were up in the third quarter.
It's Florida, man. They can't score.
Well, they actually did score a decent amount, but LSU just scored more.
By the way, anytime LSU's had a decent quarterback, they've won a national championship.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing that out. We'll see this week. Alabama plays LSU.
November 9th, I believe, Alabama plays LSU. But, all right, let's start off. First game on the docket. How about a little happy hour action, Leroy? Today, 6:30 action.
6:30?
Marshall at FAU. FAU is a 5.5-point favorite at home. Now, no one's talking about this, but the Lane train is kind of making a comeback.
Really?
It's slowly getting the tracks in order. They've won 4 in a row. They've covered 3 of the 4. They've covered 7 of their last 10 games. Now, the first 2 games of the season, they got pounded. But you know who those teams were? Ohio State and UCF. Every other game since then, they've won by at least 10 points. Marshall, on the flip side, they have failed to cover four games in a row, and they have not covered eight of their last 10 games. And check this out, Leroy. It's a revenge game for FAU.
What?
Last year, Marshall whooped them 31-7. Lane Train, Happy Hour, and Full Express. Tech FAU to cover the 5.5 today.
Uh-oh.
Little Happy Hour action.
All right.
Get your weekend started with that. Saturday, Oregon State at Cal. The total is set at 51.5. And guess what's back? The Cal Under Train. It is back. Leroy, check this out. 16 of the last 20 games Cal has played, the game's gone under. 16 of 20.
Even for a Pac-12 game?
But this is not Pac-12 football. They play running the football and intense defense.
All right.
13 of their last 15 games have gone under. This is an under machine. Their last two games that did go over for Cal, their totals were set at 42 and 44 points. This one's at 51.5. It's because Oregon State's defense, not very good, very leaky defense. But Cal, they have their backup
quarterback. Can't score.
They can't score. They have their backup quarterback playing. And I have a rule with this Cal under train. 45 or more, unders galore. So this is at 51.5. Take the under. It's back. Choo-choo, riding this train.
Choo-choo.
All right, next game, speaking of Oregon State, Oregon at Washington. Big game Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Oregon is a 3-point road favorite at Washington. Now, Oregon, they kind of struggle against top-tier defenses. Last week, they put up a party against Colorado, but Colorado's defense wasn't very good as another loser we had in the Magnificent Seven. Big mistake there.
You took Colorado.
Yeah, plus 21. That was terrible. But let me tell you something about Oregon, though.
Yes.
In three games against Auburn, Stanford, and Cal, the previously mentioned Cal under train, they had not scored more than 21 points in any of those games. In fact, against Cal, there was a 17-7 slugfest. Washington, similar kind of defense to those three. And prior to being 2-0 this year, Oregon has lost seven of their last eight Pac-12 road games. That's what this is. Oregon has been alternating covers. One week they cover, one week they don't cover. They've been alternating. Last week, they obviously covered against Colorado, so that means they're due to not have a cover. This week, Washington has covered two of the last three games against Oregon after not covering the previous 12. So this is kind of Washington getting the comeback in that series. And Washington overall has covered eight of their last 10 games. Jacob Eason at home. And I don't trust Justin Herbert against pass rush. Not very good, especially on the road, a little bit shaky. Washington, I think, wins this game outright. Take the 3 points in Washington.
All right.
Number four, LSU at Mississippi State. 3:30 action. LSU is a 17.5-point favorite. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. This is a trap game because next week they have Auburn at home.
Right.
And then the next game after that is Alabama. Maybe LSU's feeling themselves after beating up on Florida last week at home. But this is one of the few times where a point spread has actually accounted for rat poison. The way LSU's been playing offense, I thought the spread would be in the mid-20s at 24, 25 points. It actually came out at 19.5, and money's been pouring on Mississippi State. Something fishy's going on. Three catfish. Everyone's thinking, I'm not buying this trap game nonsense. The lowest amount of points LSU has scored all season, 42 points. That's their low for the season.
Mississippi State ain't scoring nowhere near that.
Well, no, not even close. And Mississippi State just lost to Tennessee last week. Tennessee is horrible, and LSU has covered five of their six games. The only game they didn't cover a 51.5-point spread. They won by 51. That's their only not cover of the season. And the head coach of Mississippi State, Joe Moorhead, there's rumors out there that he's thinking about that Rutgers job opening. So he might be a little bit distracted. And at LSU, they're averaging 50 points a game. They're on a roll. They're on a machine. I'm not buying into the trap game. And even still, the point spread is accounting for that. They should be giving way more points than 17.5. LSU, they're going to roll again easily, give the 17.5. All right, Leroy. Saturday night, Michigan at Penn State. Penn State is a 9-point favorite at home in Happy Valley. It's going to be a whiteout. I'm sure they've been camping out for five
games.
Now, I know what everyone's thinking. Michigan has only covered two of the last 10 road games. Everyone always bets against Jim Harbaugh. That Wisconsin game, he got blown out again. But I will say, last year when Michigan played Penn State, I know Michigan was at home, they pounded them. They destroyed them by like 30-plus points. The year prior, though, Penn State, when the game was at Penn State whooped up on Michigan pretty badly. But before the season, there were some early lines that came out before the season.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan was a favorite in this game before the season started. Now they're all of a sudden 9-point underdogs. Penn State against good, solid defenses this year, whether it was Pitt or whether it gets Iowa last week, they only put up 17 points.
Right.
Michigan's a pretty decent defense. And by the way, the whole world is taking Penn State because, oh, Jim Harbaugh's horrible, can't win the big games. He always gets blown out of the big games. Probably fair, but I think the point spread is accounting for that. I thought the point spread should be around 4.5, 5 points, but they're giving 9 points. It just seems like an overreaction to how bad Jim Harbaugh's been in these kind of big spots. I think take Michigan. I think it's going to be a defensive game. Could be a 17-10 kind of game. Take Michigan on the 9 points. You're not going to believe it, Leroy. I know.
I'm not saying nothing.
I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think Penn State's offense is that good to be giving 9 points against a top-tier defense.
I mean, the problem is if Michigan's defense can keep that score down, their quarterback can start throwing it to them. You know, and they have a couple of turnovers, and you never know. I mean, 9 points is a lot, though.
All right, Leroy, it's back. My favorite, the parlay special. I haven't done it in a few weeks. I'm busting it out there. All right, let's start off with tonight. Ohio State, Northwestern. Ohio State's a 27.5-point favorite. Maybe you're uncomfortable about that. Not to worry. You take them on the money line. But you don't want to give minus 5,000. You want to just take that one bet, and that's it. You have to throw more games in there to get better than minus 5,000. We don't do minus 5,000 around here. You also got Clemson. They're at Louisville. Louisville's on a backup quarterback now. Clemson's a 24-point favorite on the road. You can maybe be concerned about Clemson on the road. They might be tricky. But not to worry, you don't have to give any point of the points. Take Clemson on the money line at minus 2,500. Houston is at UConn. UConn is terrible. They're the train of all trains. Yep. But Houston has half their team redshirted. Maybe you don't want to give 22.5 points with Houston on the road. Not to worry. Just have Houston to win at UConn, minus 2,000. Throw them in there. Iowa, they're taking on Purdue at home. They're 17.5-point favorites. You don't want to. You might not want to give 17.5 points to Iowa when they can barely score 17. At Purdue, they're on a backup quarterback. They're a little bit leaky. Maybe you don't trust that game. But one thing's for sure, Iowa's going to win that game at home at minus 1,000. Then you got Auburn at Arkansas. Auburn, a 19.5-point road favorite. Arkansas's terrible. They might not cover the 19.5, but you don't have to worry about that. Take them to win on the money line at minus 1,000. Sorry, minus 1,400. Then you got Wyoming against New Mexico. Wyoming's a 19.5-point favorite at home. Just for them to win outright, minus 1,500. Throw them in there. Buffalo at Akron. Buffalo is a 17.5-point favorite. Akron's the worst team in the FBS, maybe even worse. They lost to UMass. And UMass, I wish I could bet the UMass game, but they're on a bye this week. But Buffalo, jeez. I was desperately looking for a UMass line, but it was nowhere to be found. Buffalo minus 1,000 on the money line. You got Missouri at Vanderbilt. Missouri's a 21-point favorite on the road at Vanderbilt. By the way, Vanderbilt just lost by 24 points at home to UNLV. So Missouri's going to win this game. You don't have to worry about the spread. Throw the money line in there at minus 2,000. You got Georgia and Kentucky. Georgia, big 25.5-point favorite. I know they just lost to South Carolina. It's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row, and you don't have to give 25.5 points. Just take them on the money line at home at minus 3,000. And then Texas against Kansas. Texas is a 21-point favorite. They're at home. Not to worry. All they have to do is beat Kansas at home. That's not really that much to ask. Minus 1,500. And then you got, I'm sure we'll have this game on the ticket, FIU against UTEP. UTEP's one of the worst teams in the FBS. FIU's a 24.5-point favorite. Wow. Not to worry. You don't have to give the points in this scenario. Just throw FIU on the money line at minus 2,500. And then finally, the nightcap, when it's all said and done, late night action. I believe it's a 10:30 kickoff. Utah State against Nevada. Utah State's a 21-point favorite at home, minus 2,000 on the money line. 11 teams, 11 winners, minus 106. We're home for our parlay.
You just did 11.
11 layups. It's 11 layups without missing. Nobody's guarding you. Just 11, imagine all you have to do is make 11 layups in a row without missing. Right-handed.
I'd rather shoot a three-pointer.
One three-pointer?
Yep. Be done.
And finally, a final game on the docket. Georgia Tech at Miami, Saturday, nooner. You can catch that game on 560. The Joe, Miami is an 18-point favorite at home. But you got a sleepy nooner here. So far this hurricane season, one thing's for sure. Miami plays to the level of its competition. They covered against Florida. They won outright last week against Virginia. Mm-hmm. But in games against Central Michigan, mm-hmm. North Carolina, at Virginia Tech, they didn't cover any of the three games. Central Michigan was an embarrassing win, and they lost outright to Virginia Tech as 14-point favorites. So this Miami team, they have a tendency to feel themselves, especially after winning last week, maybe consume a little rat poison, maybe believe their own hype, maybe send out a few more hype videos.
Don't do it.
But Georgia Tech, they're very bad. They may be worse than Virginia Tech. They're probably right up there with Central Michigan. And they are going through the transition. So this is kind of a bad team at home and a nooner. And the atmosphere, I'm not expecting a big-time atmosphere for a noon kickoff for a team that's 3-3. It's going to be a sleepy first half at least. Not a big crowd. And Canes maybe feeling a little bit of rat poison. And then, honestly, I don't know if the Canes could score 18 points. Last week was a slobber knocker, 17-point victory. They put up 17 points. Nkosi Perry's at quarterback again. You still got the shaky offensive line, maybe the worst in the FBS. Take Georgia Tech, take the 18 points. I think it's going to be a closer game, one of these stressful, close games. Canes win, but I'm not giving the 18 points to this offensive line.
Nope. Turnover chain. if they start playing defense like they played last week.
But I don't know about the offense and what their offensive line could protect. They couldn't block Central Michigan. How am I going to think they're going to block anybody else? All right. Last Friday, Leroy, the Canes had a win. It was a nice win, but there was something else that happened on Friday that's a looming problem for the University of Miami. We'll tell you about that next.
It's baby doing. Everybody sing. Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Funk Dog exclusive.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
You want to know what we say in the club?
Hey, baby.
White folks, gangsters, and the thugs.
Hey, baby.
Starting with a stack of them thugs.
Hey, baby.
Oh, yeah. Is it Hurricane Chris? I see what you did there, Jennifer. Well done.
Tell me. Tell me what it was.
Well, we knew we were going to talk about the Hurricanes. You come in with little Hurricane Chris.
And also because it's a baby.
Oh.
Your Sunday dilemma?
Yeah. Well, it's not this Sunday. It's a couple Sundays from now. It's not really a dilemma. I'm not going. It was a predicament, and I thought I was told a whopper that men were supposed to be at the baby shower. I thought that was a lie. But apparently, Leroy made the point that, you know, it's not totally a lie.
Not totally a lie, but I've seen texts that say, me and my girlfriend, we dominate the baby games. Like, there's people that, you know, they're going just for the drinks and the, you know, and the games and stuff.
My dad goes with a huge bottle.
Well, yeah, see. That's another thing, but I think it just depends on, what's going on at these baby showers, because I know for a fact that I knew what my role was, at my wife's baby shower, and I know that, like, even when my roommate in Minnesota, you met Harold. Even when his wife had his baby shower, he called me and said, hey, your wife is invited to the baby shower. Like, he was already letting me know, if you want to come, you could come, but your wife's invited. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's kind of how that went.
You can hear every Miami Hurricanes game on our sister station 560 The Joe. Hurricanes Football on The Joe is sponsored by Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota, and Lexus of Kendall, and Lexus of West Kendall, and by Anna John Levine. Accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. All right, so Leroy, last Friday, the Canes had a nice win against Virginia. No poo-pooing that win whatsoever. It was a ranked team. I mean, Virginia might have not been that good, but they were at home.
Hey, they were the 20th ranked team in the country. I don't care what you say, how bad they were, how whatever. Yep. Ranked is ranked.
And they had lost to that Virginia team last year. They only held them to 9 points. They didn't allow a touchdown. Win is a win in the especially in that regard. I would say a win is not a win against Central Michigan, but that was a solid win.
Right.
Having said that, before the game on Friday, the Miami Hurricanes Twitter account, the Canes Football, they came out with a hype video surrounding their loss to Virginia Tech, and they doctored this hype video to make it seem like they won the game. They showed not only that they play the dramatic music, dong, dong, oh, we're down, everything's down, and then they show all the touchdowns that the Canes had in reverse order. And if you noticed, the Canes' first touchdown of the game was on a Hail Mary to end the half. They showed that one at the end. It made it seem like they came back and won the game on a Hail Mary to final play.
Man.
And then after the touchdowns, they show everybody celebrating with their touchdown rings and having a good time, making it seem like they won the game. And my problem with that is they made a hype video after a loss. There is a losing culture being permeated throughout the Miami Hurricanes football team, where the win doesn't matter. Win or lose doesn't matter. You're getting a hype video. It's the hype is all that matters. It's not about whether the teams win or lose. And it's all started with these stupid recruiting class names, whether it's Swag 16 or Storm 18 or Surge 19 or Category 20. So these kids already come into to campus thinking that they're gods. And I'm not blaming the kids whatsoever. This is the adults permeating a me-first losing culture. And they're 3-3 despite all that hype. And that's my long-term concern about the Miami Hurricanes. And that's why they have these games against Central Michigan or these games against North Carolina. And I think the talent says that they should beat these teams by more, but I think this losing culture, that this participation trophy kind of culture, win or lose, we're making a hype video, it's really disturbing.
All right, calm down. Calm down. One, I have a problem with the hype videos also, so I'm not going to
Tay Martell's made one. DJ Dallas, DJ Dallas has been great this season. He made one.
But I would say I have a problem with them from this standpoint. You have to be prepared to take the heat if things don't work out with your hype video. And what happens is that we've seen all this hype all offseason, you know, the videos, the coaches, everybody doing all this, and nobody's been playing football. So get back on track. I don't necessarily care about the hype videos. I'm just saying when people question you about them, you know, when people have concerns about them, you can't get all up in your feels. You can't get all sensitive because that's just like talking trash. If you gonna talk trash and it don't come through and somebody get in your face and rub it in your face, you got to eat it. That being said, you should be rewarded for good football. And to me, a hype video seems like you're going to get rewarded regardless.
Yeah, they lost the game.
So I don't necessarily, you know, I don't necessarily have a problem with the hype videos and doing all that stuff. I do have a problem with a hype video and you 3-3. And for people that think in that facility, that's okay. Because there's a standard that is supposed to be set around here, right? Around Miami.
And at the time the hype video was released, they were 2-3.
Right. Right. So, but look, if they had come out with a hype video after this game and the video was welcome back, I could get it.
Okay, yeah.
I could get it. I get it. But don't, like, lead people down the wrong path and think, you know, that hype video after the, what was it, the
Virginia Tech
game, like, yeah, man, like, get out of here with that. So I get it. I'm not as down on it as you are. I will say that usually coffee is for closers, right?
Yep.
And you could take that, and videos are for winners. Videos are for undefeated teams. Videos are for ranked teams. Mm-hmm. Videos are for teams going somewhere and that have something positive to preach to their fans whenever that video comes out, right? As of right now, you're not there yet. You're not there. And now the great thing about it is that you're 3-3, but you still can do some stuff. You still have a chance to win the Coastal. But get there first.
Now this is what I was afraid of, because watching the game, I had never been more indifferent to whether the Canes had won or lost. And I remember Zaslow saying after the Central Michigan game that it would have been better if they had lost. More would have been exposed, there would have been more outrage, and more truths would have been revealed. Had they lost that game to Virginia after making that hype video, after a loss, it would have been pandemonium, Pandora's box. Everything would have been in play. We would have been this whole week ripping the Canes for that.
Only you.
Well, everybody would have.
See, I don't.
I'm the only one that noticed it, but the Canes won, so it got pushed under the rug.
Here's what I'll say.
And this texter says, kick rocks. The video worked, you bozo. This is what I'm afraid of.
Here's what I will say. Win or lose, I don't care enough about the hype video. I think you should be caring about other things. The hype video is not gonna make or break your season. And this is about football. So make it about football. I don't know why they make the hype videos. I don't know what the purpose of them are. People are saying they're making them because it's a graphics class. And that class is making them in.
I'm sure the video department was following
orders.
It could have
nothing to do with the football program.
No, I'm sure the people who made the video were under orders. Hey, we need a hype video for this week's game. And but then the kids.
Well, no, it's not the team. Well, you understand what
I'm
saying?
I know the team's in order, but the Twitter account Cade's Football is the one that published it out there for everyone to
see. Look, play football. Like let's. Only thing I'm commenting on, and I will comment on, is the football that's being played there. I'm not a big fan of guys. So it's like a guy doing his touchdown dance down by three touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm from that frame of thought. I don't necessarily have a problem with the videos. I have a problem with nobody inside of the program having a problem with the videos being 3-3.
Yeah, that's another thing. This hasn't been talked. I'm the first one to bring this up. And this happened a week ago that they made a hype video after a loss. I think I'm the only one who's even mentioned that they made a hype video for Virginia Tech.
Because I think, like, a lot of times. You know
they won, so I mean.
Right, and so just like you would say, if they would have lost to Virginia, they're making hype videos before a game and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
it's the same thing they're gonna say is that the hype video worked. We had a hype video and it turned the season around. So, like again, all I care about is the football that's actually being played. What that coach did. For that defense, what Manny did for that defense by getting them going in the right direction had nothing to do with a hype video. Nothing. So from that standpoint,
that was good.
I don't care about the hype video. I would rather them be a little more humble.
Especially when you're 3-3.
Right. Right.
And for perspective.
Is there a Leroy touchdown dance highlight reel? Nope.
Well, there's a great clip on YouTube of Leroy having that 50-yard run on Thanksgiving with John Madden on the call.
Well, I'll tell you. So we played on Thanksgiving. We played Dallas. And if you're not, almost everybody is on special teams. You may not do it, but so when the meetings are at 8:30 on special teams before team meetings, almost everybody's there. Except quarterbacks and a couple of stars. But everybody's there. So your whole offense and defense is based on special teams. So we're watching special teams for the Dallas game. Every time they make a big play, somebody ride the horse. I'm talking about all the way to midfield. They riding the horse. I'm like, man, I'm tired of seeing this. They say, if we do something, we're going to ride the horse. Right? So I scored a touchdown. This was before the 50-yarder. And me and Chuck was the fullback. I say, after we score, right, we riding the horse. Scored a touchdown, we riding the horse. We riding the horse, right? So I got a letter like 2 weeks later. They go, I always respected you as a running back and how you handled yourself. And then we watching you on Thanksgiving and you grabbing your stuff on national TV. I said, I was riding a horse. I wasn't grabbing my junk. I was riding a horse. So that was the extent of it. Other than that, nope, not a dancer. Understand when you play running back, you very rarely get a situation where you initiate contact. Whereas if you're on defense, that guy could come and hit you at any point in time. So I always played accordingly. Like I played hard or whatever, but I would never, Like, I'm never in your face or whatever, because we still got to play a whole game.
Kenyon Drake might be on the move. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.